Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Seems there was a time when a sensible man wouldn't doubt or deny the existence of God, if only for the reason that a sensible man would not consider himself kind of the pinnacle of all things, his own God or his own creator, much less the product of pure random chance and accident. But if you watch what people believe, especially here in the United States, you will see a decline, a pretty precipitous decline in beliefs as basic as the existence of God. How do we account for that? And moreover, how do we account for, well, this New York Times Sunday Review headline that seems to indicate that the less you believe in God, the less devout you are religiously, the more likely you are to believe in things like UFOs and ghosts. Joining us to talk about this New York Times piece and religious affiliation, belief in the paranormal, Kenneth Samples. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you.
First of all, your general thoughts on the decline of religiosity, for lack of a better word, in the United States.
Yeah, good question. I think the Pew Report had a recent article about what it is calling the nones. That is, when people are given opportunity to click a little box, you know, whether they're Christian, Jew, Muslim, that an increasing number of people say they're nones. They don't associate with any religious position whatsoever. I think there are probably a number of things that pop into my mind when I think about some of those numbers. I think how successful, to some degree, those who advocate a naturalist position at the academy, that is, at the universities within the Western world. We often have education today where, you know, in my day, you know, I was educated during the late 70s and early 80s, and by and large in my philosophy classes, my professor said, look, take whatever position you want, just back it up. And the teachers I had, at least the best teachers I had, they tried to get me to think. They weren't trying to persuade me to hold any necessary particular view. I think some of that's changed, and I think that I think while naturalists, atheists, secularists is still a small number worldwide, I think it's significant in the Western world. But Todd, I guess I would also say that, you know, when you stop worshiping the true and living God, I'm thinking here of Romans 1, it's difficult to get away from drawing conclusions metaphysically. And I think it's true. I mean, there was an article not too long about an atheist church that was started in London. They were asked, well, what do you do there? Well, we get together, you know, we sing songs, we have community. I think it's very difficult to be non-religious without still carrying on some kind of deep belief about the questions of life. And while I think it's true that many atheists do not embrace UFOs or those kinds of things, I think that everybody needs an origins, everybody needs an eschatology, and I think that's the way God's made us. I think if we don't worship the true and living God, we're worshipers by nature. That might be part of the Imago Dei. We're worshipers by nature, so that that instinct is going to go somewhere if it's not placed to the triune God of historic Christianity.
So that would help explain why people who either claim no religious affiliation or maybe even go so far as to say, look, I just don't even believe in the existence of God, will fall prey to what I think otherwise a sane person would consider to be equally unsupported claims like extraterrestrial life or the paranormal in terms of ghosts and things like that?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think in some ways it's all how you ask the question, because a lot of young people would designate themselves as spiritual but not religious. Being spiritual is cool. Being religious tends to be intolerant in their minds. But, you know, when you think of the UFO phenomenon, I think it is in some ways a religious phenomenon. You're looking for kind of the solution to man's problems. Salvation comes from above. I mean, I'm a advocate of the History Channel. I have two History Channels on my television, and it used to be that they were preoccupied with, you know, World War II. Now it's ancient aliens, and I think that when you start asking where did we come from, where are we going, you're asking metaphysical questions, and again, I think it's very difficult to get away from some kind of spirituality. And for a lot of people, it is the New Age. It is the occult. Those are interesting, provocative, whereas traditional religion, i.e. Christianity, is kind of seen as, you know, less exciting.
I think often, let's talk about the atheists for a while. They want to claim the rational high ground. And yet, some of them, I'm thinking of Richard Dawkins, is willing to entertain the notion that life on this earth was seeded here by an alien race. He has zero evidence for such a thing, but he says that's plausible to him. Talk about where the rational high ground really lies in this debate between those who are religious and those who disdain religious ideas.
Yeah, what's interesting is before Dawkins there was Carl Sagan, and Carl Sagan had the program Cosmos, and Sagan was an atheist, but he was strongly interested in extraterrestrial life. In fact, said that, you know, if we were to receive one intelligent message from space, that would be an absolute confirmation of the existence of extraterrestrial beings. Of course, what I find interesting is we see lots of evidence of intelligent creator fine-tuning, but those like Dawkins and Sagan tend to be very resistive of that idea. Obviously, if you look at somebody like a Sagan or a Dawkins, they may argue that, and certainly this was the case with Sagan, and I'm sure Dawkins would fall into agreement, that evolution is so sure and so common in their mind that if there are plenty of viable life sites, there are various places in distant galaxies where you have the Goldilocks effect, where you have all of the right physical, materialistic circumstances, you're going to have all kinds of life. What's interesting, Todd, is when I contributed to this book on Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, looking at ET, looking at questions of UFOs, is in the scientific community, a lot of people have said, in fact, there's a book out with the title, Where Is Everybody? That is this grand scheme that, you know, life is going to be filled with it. The universe is going to be teeming with extraterrestrial life purely on the basis of naturalistic evolution. Well, it hasn't panned out. I guess you could say, well, we have, you know, a limited ability to kind of follow these potential life sites. But, you know, the reality is that there are lots of very difficult questions about life in outer space, whether that life, even if it existed, could move, traverse these incredible distances. And of course, lots of very good theological criticisms. I mean, even Thomas Aquinas, the great medieval Catholic philosopher, raised question, could God create in outer space? But to bring it to your point here, Todd, I really do think that in good measure, the UFO movement is a religious movement, and you have UFO cults, you have a real religious orientation. And so, again, I think it gets back to that idea that human beings seem to be wired to be religious, and even if you don't accept traditional religion, you'll move in some direction or another.
Ken Samples is our guest on this Monday. We are talking about religious affiliation and belief in the paranormal. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, and author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. We'll be right back.
Up shot her hand, did you cry? Oh man, I feel it, yes I feel it, I do. Been revealed to me down in my soul. There were two shooters on the grass, and no, we never walked on the moon. Elvis ain't dead, you ain't going crazy, it's all in your head. Let us sing, it's all interpretation.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a New York Times Sunday feature. Don't believe in God? Maybe you'll try UFOs. Ken Samples is our guest, author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. When you purchase this book using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men by Ken Samples. Ken, you spoke earlier about kind of the intrinsic religiosity of man, and it seems as though I think there's a connection here. It certainly seems to be one that the New York Times is picking up on. What kind of ultimate questions, specific ultimate questions, are those who would otherwise deny the existence of God seeking to answer when they believe in things like the paranormal or extraterrestrial life?
Yeah, that's an important topic. I think it's certainly true, Todd, that, you know, the article talks about people having religious types of experiences, and I think it's possible that people who don't follow kind of the traditional religious perspective, that is, they're not opting for any one of the world's religions, but adopt some kind of religious experience. They're looking at, sometimes they're called the primal religion, sometimes it's called, you know, occult beliefs. I wonder, Todd, in that context, if our culture isn't primed for seeking out some kind of religious experience, some kind of direct encounter, maybe an after-death encounter, maybe some kind of belief in spiritism or something of that nature. I mean, you have lots of people who make claims about religious apparitions, near-death experiences. It seems like maybe part of that is the real awareness that people want to have these kinds of experiences beyond their everyday life and kind of validate some of those kinds of things. I mean, when we look at the, you know, the nature religions of North America, South America, Africa, Asia, often you have, you know, spiritual realities that are in the world, and people encounter them. So there is that whole other side of religion, apart from the world's religions of Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. There are all of these other kind of spiritual encounter types of things. So I think that that's possibly part of what people are appealing to or are interested in having, because I think for many people, to know something, to believe something, it requires some kind of experience.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, look, what you've just said here is, it kind of explains all of it. It explains people who believe in UFOs, explains people who believe in ghosts, it explains people who believe in a God, who believe in Jesus Christ. They have some sort of, human beings have some sort of need psychologically built into us by evolution. And however people fill it doesn't really matter. It's all fantasy, but it fulfills some kind of a need, like a dog chasing his tail. But that's all any of it really is, including Christianity. How would you respond?
That's a very common sentiment. I think I would begin, Todd, by saying, you know, part of testing a worldview, testing a religious perspective or non-religious perspective, is what kind of explanatory power does that worldview have? I mean, from a biblical point of view, I think it is very clear that God created people to have fellowship with God, that people will have a longing, a desire to have an encounter with God, to know God. So in one sense, I think that these kinds of elements of looking at human beings as if they are religious, inherently religious, and that they have a longing for something more than just this material, physical, empirical world, while that seems to be common, I think it's important to recognize that that does seem to be part of the biblical point of view. I think from another point of view, I would go on to say that, you know, it's not merely that people have these desires. Christianity is seen as a historical faith. I think at some point, when people talk about, well, where is there evidence for God? How can I encounter God? Well, historic Christianity says that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in human flesh, that he made an appearance in the world. I've studied all of the other world's religions, and there's nothing like the incarnation. Not even the avatars of Hinduism can really compare with this idea that Christians believe that God has come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, it's true that I think it's seemingly true that people are religious by their very nature, that they long for something more than this world that is passing away. But there are also these veridical things like the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are also arguments that are derived from the world in which we live. How do we best explain human consciousness? What about the origin of life? How is it that the universe had a beginning? I think all of these things then begin to open up the question that there are some worldviews that have greater power of explanation, and certainly in the Western world, Christianity is the largest of the world's religions. It's influenced virtually every area of the world, and so it's not merely that we have this kind of inherent religiosity, which again I think is part of the Christian explanation. But it goes into issues of the person of Christ and his life, death, and resurrection. And again, I just recently wrote a book comparing Jesus with these other religious leaders. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. None of the religious leaders have the kind of resume that Jesus Christ had in terms of his extraordinary holiness, his capacity to do miracles, and then, of course, to die on the cross to reconcile people's sins. I mean, none of the other religious leaders accomplish anything that changes the moral status of their followers in the next life, except Christ. And then finally, the resurrection. I mean, if Jesus rose from the dead, and we have good evidence that he did, I can't imagine a more compelling argument that is not merely subjective.
Kenneth Samples is a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Robert Spencer about free speech and radical Islam. We'll also conclude our series on Hebrews with Dr. John Kleinig. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.